This is from the beginning of the third chapter of my book called The Cumberland Coast. And it's about the small Cumberland seaside town of Allenby. In 1857, Charles Dickens and Wilkie Collins decided to take a short holiday together. As Dickens explained in a letter to his friend John Foster, it would be an expedition to the out-of-the-way places. Our decision is for a foray upon the fells of Cumberland. I have discovered in the books some promising moors and bleak places thereabout. That he should have been attracted by bleak places shouldn't surprise us. The result was the lazy tour of two idle apprentices, his little-known Cumbrian travel book. It has to be said that there is rather a strong anti-northern flavour to it from the very start. The further from London they travel, so the temperature changed, the dialect changed, the people changed, faces got sharper, manners got shorter, eyes got shrewder and harder. The towns are, of course, as bleak as any southerner would expect them to be. Wigton is one of the most dismal places ever seen by eyes, and the people are mostly boors. In Carlisle, a young man advanced behind a young woman for whom he appeared to have a tenderness, and hinted to her that he was there, and playful, by giving her, he wore clogs, a kick. Or they are buffoons and figures of fun. But there is a lot of fun in it, and some of it is aimed at themselves. They decided to climb a certain black old Cumberland hill called Carrick, and set out with their innkeeper as a guide. Inevitably, it rains. Inevitably, the mist comes down. And inevitably, they get lost. Dickens breaks his compass. Their guide admits he hasn't been up there in years, and they begin to wonder whether it isn't better walking to be had in London, where there are nice, short walks in level public gardens, with benches of repose set up at convenient distances for weary travellers. And then Collins trips and falls while trying to cross a stream and is crippled. They manage to get back to their inn, but any more mountaineering is out of the question. Instead, Dickens consults his maps, his guidebooks, and discovers that the most delicious piece of sea coast to be found within the limits of England, Ireland, Scotland, Wales, the Isle of Man, and the Channel Islands, all summed up together, was Allenby. So off they go to Allenby. Canon Rawnsley tells us that Allenby at that time was the most popular watering place of the elite of Cumberland. But as their carriage pulled up outside the Ship Inn, the most fashionable of its seven inns, Dickens wondered aloud whether a watering place could really consist of five gentlemen in straw hats on a form on one side of the door, and four ladies in hats and falls on a form the other side of the door, three geese in a dirty little brook, and a donkey running away. This donkey proved to be so much the chief public excitement at Allenby, it was always running away, that they later wondered if it wasn't supported at public expense. There was a shop, and you could buy anything you wanted there, so long as it was a camp stool or a child's wheelbarrow. There was a library, too, but no sign of any books. And that ruinous brick loft with the ladder leaning up against it was the reading room. They stood it for a day or two. There was the sea, and there were shrimps to be eaten. But one morning, looking out of the window and seeing the donkey running away again, Dickens turned to his companion with a solemn air and said, "Collins, this is a delightful little inn, excellently kept by the most comfortable of landladies and the most attentive of landlords. but the donkey's right. And that was the end of their visit to Allenby.